Welcome to the Scare Track Podcast, the UK's first podcast dedicated to the scare attraction and haunted house industry. However, please be advised that we have no censor. The language used may be of an explicit nature and is not intended for younger listeners or the easily offended. All views expressed are those of the individual host and do not necessarily reflect those of Scare Track, our guests, or any of our associates. So, if you're still here, let's get scared.
So this is where our adventure begins.
Oh my god!
I scared myself!
Kate Monroe is screaming.
Spoiler alert,
freaking awesome.
That's the loudest I've heard you scream in a very long time.
The quality of the set was amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't like it.
Hello and welcome to this episode of the Scare Track Podcast. My name is Mikey and today's episode is an interview episode with James and Rosie from Faceless Ventures. Faceless Ventures have been on the podcast loads and we've visited lots of their events. We really, really enjoy the innovative stuff that those guys do. And when it comes to innovation, it really does. This is the icing on the top of the cake, guys. This is the Pandora Network, a brand new immersive theatrical production that's ordered online. It's a set of multimedia immersive stories that you can enjoy without leaving your home. You interact with characters as you try to solve the mysteries behind the Pandora Network. You buy tickets online and then you have a full 7 days of immersive theatre right through social media. It's really cool. We got to be on part of the team that tried the beta version a week or so ago now, and it's going to be rolling out to you guys, all the listeners, very, very soon. So I'm going to talk to Rosie and James all about the Pandora Network from Faceless Ventures and the and learn about the people that they've teamed up with as well. But before we get into that interview, I just wanted to give a quick shout out to you guys listening whilst you're all in lockdown and in isolation. Scary, crazy, weird times at the minute. For anyone listening into the future, this is April 24th, 2020 as of recording. And yeah, the coronavirus, COVID-19 is alive and kicking, and it's really doing our heads in. Let's be honest, we're not enjoying it whatsoever. We should be going to Faceless Ventures real life attractions right now, and they've had to cancel a few. We should be going to gigs, we should be going on holidays, but unfortunately we're all staying inside. So guys, stay safe, be kind, thank you for listening, and the Pandora Network really might be up your street. So without any further ado, let's take it to myself interviewing Rosie and James from the Pandora Network with Faceless Ventures.
You're listening to
Hello and welcome back to this episode of the Scare Track Podcast. Like I said in the intro, I am with James and Rosie from Faceless Ventures. Guys, hello, welcome to the Scare Track Podcast.
Hi Mikey, hi Scare Track.
Thank you for having us.
Hello. Well, no, thank you so much for coming on. It's nice to have a couple of other voices representing Faceless Ventures other than that northern bugger Lee. So
yeah, Lee's getting around a bit, isn't he?
You know what? He is. Obviously we chat quite a lot on our podcast. We did when he was doing his Frequent Fear one as well. I heard him on Picking Brains last week with the Zombie Infection crew as well. So you know he's had his limelight, he's had his time. It's now up to you guys to tell us all about a brand new online immersive theatre production called the Pandora Network. But before we get into that, if people are first time listeners to the podcast or they haven't listened to any episodes we've had with Lee, would you how would you describe Faceless Ventures, your main product of immersive theatre, scare experiences, extreme stuff? What is Faceless Ventures in a nutshell?
Well, Faceless Ventures started out as, I'm sure quite a few of your listeners are already aware, we started out just doing extreme horror events, a la cracked survival experience. Over the time that we've been putting shows together, though, we've tried to come away from the extreme stuff because obviously there's a lot of people that don't like it particularly.
Quite niche, isn't it?
Yeah. So these days, I mean, we've done quite a few collaborations, one notably with yourself,
yeah,
Mikey.
Cruelty. Lots of fun.
Yeah, we've done quite a few collaborations, but we're trying to move into more of a immersive theatre space rather than just doing immersive horror, because that gives us the freedom to do shows like Cruelty, like this Pandora Network that we're doing now, that are not pure horror or scare attraction events. So, yeah. I mean, and we, you know, we run our shows normally under normal circumstances. Our shows are not seasonal. They're normally, you know, all throughout the year. We have a rating system that, you know, shows you how contacted it is or how not, how low on the extreme scale it is. So,
which is something really, really impressive, really, because if you don't know how extreme you want stuff, it's a really good system to let customers, to let people know exactly what they're letting themselves in for.
Yeah, I mean, that was the hope when we sort of introduced the rating system, because we were well aware when we were thinking about that rating system, we were well aware that the Faceless Ventures name was associated with Cracked.
Yeah.
And that is what most people in the community knew us for. So it was a way of us saying, okay, look, we've introduced this. When you see our shows, if they've got this rating on, you know that it's nowhere near Cracked, or you know that it is very close to Cracked.
Yeah, definitely. It works really well.
I was just going to say it works quite well because Lee and Sarah, our business partners, have kind of come from a scare attraction background, whereas James in particular has come from a theatre background. So it's quite a nice partnership where we can all kind of blend our skills together. So it's nice to do things a little bit out of the box now.
Yeah, absolutely. And you do, again, speaking from experience, so you do come up with things from outside the box. And like you say, between the four of you, you've come from different backgrounds. You like to collaborate with different people that obviously have different backgrounds. You've collaborated with, you know, with a magician to bring us Is There Anybody There? So it's nice to have a big dynamic sort of group to be able to bring something that little bit different. And that is exactly what I'm getting from the Pandora Network. Now, we need to basically discuss the elephant in the room. Yes, we're all locked indoors. It's, you know, it's April 2020, COVID-19. We're living a horror movie that I think if we'd all said to ourselves 2 months ago, this is what would be happening, we'd all be laughing about it, thinking, what the hell? You know, you guys would have done, you would have done one of the Cracked shows, wouldn't you?
Yeah, absolutely. It would have been over Easter weekend, the final Cracked show, actually, and our rap party. And incidentally, if you don't have the 28 Days Later music over the background of this, because we're in COVID-19 lockdown, there's something going wrong, Mike.
Okay, I'll put that in post. I need to make a note of that, definitely. But yeah, it is a little bit crazy. We're all locked in. We're all, if we're not key workers, we're not going to work and whatnot, and we're finding other ways to help support the community and clap for our NHS staff. But we're also finding innovative ways of entertaining ourselves. Now, we're very, very lucky that we live in the 21st century. We have YouTube, we have Skype, we have our phones, we have everything. We have Disney Plus, and that's killing it right now. But we're needing to find other ways to interact with ourselves, to enjoy performance. And I don't know about you guys, but I've done more quizzes in the last 6 weeks than I have done in my entire life. I've seen a few escape rooms change their stuff up, so they're doing online escape room games. But I have not seen a 7-day long immersive theatrical production. So, Pandora Network, how did it start? Who had the crazy idea? Basically, from the ground up, what is the Pandora Network?
Oh, right. Okay.
There's a lot in that. Sorry.
It's about 7 questions in one, that, Mikey. Right. Well, I mean, really, I think the first time we all started talking about it, as in Faceless Ventures, we had this idea. I don't know if some people probably saw the original sort of post that Faceless Ventures put out, and we were going to call it just The Network. Mm-hmm. So we had this idea that we're going to do, you know, an online experience. We hadn't thought about it yet. It was like a bit like when we did the first Faceless Ventures Unwrapped event, where we thought, well, we're going to do a Christmas show. We don't know what it is. We'll just sell tickets and we'll think about it later.
And it worked. So it worked.
Well, it did work, yeah, thankfully. So we put this post out that said it was called The Network. And then Lee started talking to Incognito Experiences after we put that post out. The lady from Incognito Experiences, Nina, has done quite a lot of online, what does she call them, ARGs?
Yeah, and she's a writer as well. So.
She's a writer. Okay. And they started talking. We got onto this whole new platform that we'd never heard of before lockdown called Slack. And I know people use it before lockdown, but we'd never heard of it. Mm-hmm. So we had to learn how to use all these different channels on Slack. We had a channel for product and marketing, a channel for story, a channel for episode one, a channel for general chat. And it was chaos for the first week that we were talking about.
It was nonstop, wasn't it, for a good couple of weeks, just ideas being thrown out there before anything was finalized. I think we went looped through about 100 different ideas.
Yeah. So Nina started writing this sort of story about this town. It obviously doesn't exist, but she started writing this story about this town. And we liked the initial idea, so she just ran with it, basically, and wrote this whole story, which was crazy detailed. Mm. Obviously, we had to then break it down and say, how do we do this? How do we do that? We got, I think it was Mark Lofthouse that did the initial logo.
Yeah.
And then obviously we got Nick Hudson involved to do all of the music and sort of the debrief and video audio production.
It's really been like a collaboration of a lot of creatives that I think are kind of climbing the walls at the minute because we can't go anywhere. So
course,
it's quite
yeah.
a celebration of kind of everyone. It's really exciting.
Yeah, and exactly what you said before, Mikey, thank goodness we have the technology that we have because,
absolutely.
Of course, you know, we're sending files around. Yeah, we're sending files around. I'm recording on, I mean, Faceless Ventures, I had to buy a brand new microphone, which is hopefully the audio is pretty good quality on this because this is the microphone I'm using to do the record. We had to buy a brand new microphone to make sure that we could get the good quality audio to send over the internet to Nick, and then he's sending it back to us, and we're sending video files around and sending photographs, and then, you know, like people are sending photographs to Rosie, she's editing them on Photoshop, sending them back, and it's really I don't want to toot our own horn, but it's really sort of a masterclass in sort of collaborative creative working.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And you can tell that from the product as well. Like I say, I was lucky enough to sort of test out a beta version, and the problem is, and I've said it before, I'm not very smart when it comes to this sort of stuff. Some, like, you know, escape room games and quizzes and even this sort of stuff when you're basically helping try and solve a mystery as such. I'm not smart enough. I forget what I read the page before when I'm reading a book, you know. So, what I did see and what I did hear, it's really good stuff. I remember listening to the debrief, and it's like a 20-minute long, really good in-depth, voice explaining what's happened with the music, and you can tell that there's lots of ingredients that have gone into this to make a crisp quality, something that I've never sort of experienced before, product. So yeah, you should give yourself a big pat on the back for that one.
Oh, thank you very much. It's nice to hear that, and the effort is worth it.
It's received glowing reviews as well. I know Tim from ScareTour did it. I know a few other people have done it who have said that it's fantastic. And it was great to see on the group page people were really getting into it as well and trying to find out what was happening. Do you guys use technology? Like you say, James, we're very, very lucky to have this sort of technology. But it's not the first time that you guys has really delved into the social media side of things with your attractions. I remember meeting a guy on Facebook called Blake Cohn, and joining his group. Is it always something that Faceless Ventures are proud on, that they do really, you don't just interact and immerse audience members throughout the, you know, the 20-minute show production or the hour show production, that you do actually, as soon as they buy a ticket, you're kind of already offering the entertainment?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think from when we first all got together and started doing Cracked, it's been a case of, well, you know, the Pandora Network is slightly different. I mean, if we go and talk about Cracked, we were saying, okay, well, you know, this is a big thing. There's a big chunk of money people are spending on Cracked. And okay, it's a 6-hour experience, but can we sort of add some value to that and make it feel like a community of people? And it was a way of sort of getting people introduced to a character and making sure that they were sort of immersed in the story before they got there, so they understood what they were doing.
Yeah.
But since we started that, we've tried to make sure that we use social media, make sure that we keep connected with our audience and stay engaged with people. And I hopefully the people that listen to this that know Faceless Ventures know that, you know, we've tried to do that. And I think that's one of the good things. I mean, there are a lot of bad things about social media, but that's, you know, one of the good things about social media and all these groups. We can stay connected. We can do these kinds of things and make sure that the audience gets every, you know, can squeeze every bit of value that they can out of our events.
Absolutely. And with something like this, the Pandora Network, similar to immersive theatre, when we go and visit your attractions or other immersive theatre attractions, you get more out of it the more you put into it, don't you?
That's definitely true. So it's kind of been designed in a way so that if you don't really want to get involved that much on the Facebook group, if you don't want to kind of comment and post your theories, you can have a really good experience just by listening to the brief and the debrief and by reading through all the clues, and you don't necessarily have to put any more into it. But there obviously is people out there that really want to delve into it and they really want to comment and get involved. And for those people, they'll get kind of extra touches, like they may get some phone calls from the agents to talk about their theories more, or they may get like a sneak peek of a clue before it's given to the group. So it's really a case of literally the more you put into it, the more you will get out of it. But you can definitely enjoy it as kind of a passive experience as well.
Yeah, that was really important for us when we were putting it all together to make sure. And there was maybe a 3 or 4 day long conversation on Slack about how we make sure that it's engaging for people who want to get really involved and also people who just want to sit back and watch it unfold, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And like I say, I think I played more of that laid back sort of role, but it was really fun to see other people put in all their thoughts and what they thought might be happening in it. And I suppose that makes each and every individual who buys a ticket has a completely different, not completely different experience, because the story is still a narrative and it is a beginning, middle and end, but each person gets their own sort of story out of it. They're members of this team trying to crack what's happening, and it gives them all an individual role to play within the attraction, I guess.
Absolutely. Like I said, how like the people who are getting more involved, sometimes they might get, you know, maybe a phone call from an agent. So then it's up to that participant whether they share that information with the group or whether they kind of keep it like a secret. Mm. And I know from doing the beta test, some people did keep it as a secret. So there were some things that not everybody got to find out on that. So I do think that everybody ends up with a completely different kind of experience, even though obviously the story is the same.
Yeah.
There might be little kind of snippets of that story that some people don't ever find out.
Yeah, absolutely. And then again, if you said that you're doing this again in 6 months' time or in a month's time, or if you're redoing this story after you've done other stories at a later date, people who have already done it could potentially do it again to see if they could find out other little Easter eggs, or see if they could figure out the finale, or the finding out the mystery in a different way, or interacting with a different person. Because it's not just interacting with the Pandora Network. You have like multiple characters that will contact each individual, don't you? Like whether it be, like you say, a phone call in the group chat or messages individually.
Yeah, absolutely. And not just the agents of the Pandora Network. There are other characters as well that may, you know, send voice messages and whatnot. But that was another big thing for us, because obviously our intention at the moment is to do more episodes, you know, in inverted commas, of the Pandora Network that don't just follow the same story. You know, we've got maybe 3 or 4 fairly good ideas for new stories that we can roll with. But the, another big part of it for us was, okay, if we want to run this particular one again sometime in the future, can people do it again and get a different experience? And I think we have achieved that with the way we've done it. And, you know, someone who does, someone who, like yourself, Mikey, who sat back on the first one and sort of watched it unfold, who then thinks, oh, they're doing that episode again, I want to do it and get more involved this time.
Yes.
Could get a completely different experience the next time they do it.
Yeah, definitely. And I suppose that's what's great about immersive theatre in its genre anyway. And it's really nice that it's sort of translated really well over to this sort of new way of receiving this medium of theatre. So it's great to see that in real life, when we do your performance, if we were to do any sort of immersive theatrical performance with you, we have an individual process that we enjoy as an individual and as a group. But it's great that it sort of translates over into the Pandora network as well. You mentioned episodes. Now, obviously, we don't want to give any spoilers away because this goes live on the... Is it the 2nd of May?
That's right, yeah.
So it goes live, and that one's sold out, which is pretty damn impressive. So you had to add a second batch, is that right?
Yeah, well, we actually extended the first run.
We added a few more tickets, didn't we? But that didn't cut it.
By how much was it? By 5 tickets, and it was only a 20 ticket show,
right?
So then, I mean, that sold out. So then we added a second run, which, I mean, we've been
on the 10th.
Yeah, the 10th. We've been just blown away.
That's
really
amazing. Yeah, fantastic. So we got 2 runs. So if you're listening to this episode, will be going out, I think, tomorrow. Today's the 24th as of time of recording. So this will go out on the 25th. But if you're listening, you have missed the 2nd of May, but there are a few more tickets that are starting on Sunday the 10th of May till Saturday the 16th of May. And again, I'll put the show note in the show notes. I'll put the ticket link for that. Without giving too many spoilers away, this is Burying the Hatchet, and it's set in Pondermere. What kind of sort of story can your fellow agents be expecting in Burying the Hatchet?
So we've kind of coined it as Miss Marple meets the X-Files.
Okay, nice. That's a tagline.
A bit of a Japanese theme without giving too much away. And it kind of delves into kind of some folklore that maybe people won't be too familiar with, which I think a lot of people have said that's what's quite exciting about it, because there's a lot to delve into and a lot to explore. So, we'll go with Miss Marple meets the X-Files in Japan.
Yeah. That just sounds awesome, doesn't it? You know, like, no wonder they didn't just... You know, you had to get a second load of tickets on for the week after. I'm on your ticket source now. And again, like I say, you can get tickets online. £10 a ticket?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we wanted to make sure that, you know, it was a price that people could, you know, you'd pay £10 for a cinema ticket. So we were thinking, well, okay, you know, it's a week-long experience, but, I mean, you can do it at your own pace. You're not going to spend... you know, hours on it a day, most likely. And at £10 for, you know, the price of a cinema ticket, it's a price that people are, you know, might find palatable. Because absolutely. I know that a lot of people are furloughed. A lot of people have maybe lost their jobs. And, you know, we didn't want to price people out that might want to, you know, sort of escape from the real world for a little while.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think that is a fantastic value for money at £10 per person. And that's very exciting. So, yeah, guys, after this episode, head over to the Pandora Network website, which is pandoranetwork.online. That gives you all the information. There's a little video in there as well that sort of gives you more info. And then you can get tickets from there as well. It's quite exciting, isn't it, guys? You guys always like to push the envelope and offer something new and something different, whether it be, you know, the first time the extreme stuff came over here to the UK, and now you're doing this online stuff as well. Obviously, we've got the coronavirus issue at the moment. We don't want to talk about that too much on Scare Track. It's all doom and gloom. But have you, after all this scenario is over, have you got some more ideas on what you want to do with future shows?
We've spoke about having a Pandora Network meetup. We have a few episodes. Maybe there might be like an in-person show or some kind of meetup with the ancients, which would be really cool at some point.
Definitely. It brings the community together.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. But I mean, at the moment, basically at the moment, all our focus is on Pandora Network because we've got this episode and then we've got future episodes to write. And also, we've had to postpone quite a few of our show. I think we've three shows. I think we've had to postpone so far. Yeah. So we didn't want to start making new shows
before you've got those to reschedule.
Yeah, because obviously people have paid, and everyone's been kind enough to say, okay, well, you know, we don't want a refund. We'll wait for the postponed show. So we want to get those out of the way before we start putting new shows out there, really, once everything's over.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's that whole question of we just don't know when it will be over as well. So it'd be silly to sort of plan something for that to only have to be postponed on top of everything else as well that's in the pipeline. And I suppose that's the positive thing about Pandora Network is that you can run with this show. You know, you could do the Pandemir show a couple more times if you needed to, if the demand was there. And like you say, you can then move on to the next show, which will be another, you know, I'm sure, mad few weeks online between the load of you to bring us something new there as well. And that could be something that, you know, even if we're out of lockdown, you can still do an online show. So that's something that's, you know, it's something for all weathers, I'd say, in my line of work. You can do it when it's sunny out in your garden. You can do it when it's rainy indoors. You can do it if you are on your holiday and we are allowed to go out and about. Or you can do it in the comfort of your own home if you're locked in for 6 weeks on end. So it's a win-win situation, really, isn't it?
Exactly. I mean, that's the thing that surprised us the most about it. Okay, it was sort of a mad dash at the beginning to sort of get everybody together and get the core team in place.
Yeah.
But now that we've got through that and we know how to go about making the show, it turns out that it's actually not that difficult to work with each other remotely.
Mm. I mean, we've never met Nina from Experiences. It's crazy how we've done all this and we've never actually met her. Like, it's amazing what can be done just from sitting in your living room.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think it will have a change on the way we work. And it will, you know, some people won't go back to work nowadays because they'll be like, we don't need this office space. They can do it from home. What's the point? And you found the similar sort of thing with creating a whole new network.
Yeah, funnily enough, I've said that quite a few times to other people at my work as well. But yeah, it just you know, because it is so easy to do, once you've got your head around the sort of logistics of it and sending everything through, you know, things like WeTransfer and, you know, iCloud links and all the rest of it, once you've got your head around all that, it is actually quite an easy thing to do.
And the good thing is about it is it's brought people from, we've had people buying tickets from Cyprus, Dubai, America, all over Europe. It's crazy how it's like bringing people that would never get to do a Faceless Ventures or an Incognito Experiences show like together, and now they can do a show. It's crazy how many people from all over the world have bought tickets to this.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, you guys already have quite a well-travelled bunch of groups visit you in person, so this is only just expanding your target market, really, isn't it? Like you say, anyone in the world can do this. I'm guessing they obviously need a few accounts and whatnot, so say if someone's not completely savvy on social media, what are the kind of things they'll need to be able to take part? I'm guessing Facebook is the heaviest thing, the main thing that they'll need to do the Pandora Network.
All you need is a Facebook account, so an email address which the initial kind of ticket receipt will go to, and then you just need a Facebook account. Even if you just make the Facebook account purely for that, all it's needed is, because you'll be put into a group on Facebook, and then even the audio calls, they all take place via Facebook Messenger. Mm-hmm. So it's literally all done via Facebook.
Yeah.
Perfect, nice and easy. So you don't need to have loads of different online things. You don't need to give out your number away or anything like that. It is literally solely just get a Facebook account. And I'm sure 99% of the population is on Facebook anyway. Rosie just said, even if you use it just for this. Perfect,
yeah,
guys.
Exactly.
I think that sort of wraps it up quite nicely, really, for the Pandora Network. Is there anything that I've missed out that you guys wanted to make sure the listeners know?
I don't think so. I think we've covered everything. I mean, I wouldn't want to delve too far into it for fear of giving something away.
Exactly. Yeah, we don't want to be giving too many clues away or anything like that.
No, we need to keep it mysterious.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, the hope for us is not only that people have a great time trying to decipher the mystery and figure it all out and delve into some of the mythology around the story that we've created, but also that, you know, these are people from all over the world now that we've bought tickets that are taking part, and maybe these people will make friends. They'll have other people to talk to in their, you know, in their lockdown furloughed reality that we live in at the moment. It's more than just yes, it's a show, but you know, we want people to try and, you know, hopefully make some friends out of the experience as well.
Definitely, yeah. And it's the kind of thing that brings people, I mean, this whole coronavirus thing, I think, has brought people closer together, apart from the idiots that fight over toilet roll. But everyone else, it all seems to be slightly friendly. And that's what's great about, your kind of attractions anyway. It brings together a community. And that community can only expand, like you say, with this online presence. So, yeah, people can become friends. And who knows, when you guys do the next episode, those customers that did the first one together might choose to do that together, get their friends involved in it, make it bigger. So the sky's the limit, really, isn't it?
It is, yeah. And we've already talked about, you know, even after lockdown's over, running these shows, because we've even talked about how we would do that if we all had to go back to work, and when we would drop some of the clues and whatnot throughout the week. So yeah, it's all been discussed.
Perfect.
I think it's something that we want to continue, though, isn't it? Because it is something that, obviously, right now, when kind of a lot of people are stuck at home, it's something fun to do. But also, you could equally do it if you are going to work. Just drop in for, you know, half an hour on an evening, and you can still catch up. I think it's something that will translate really well for the rest of the year, I think.
Yeah, and I think what we want to do for, whether this will work or not, I don't know. But what we really want to do is build this whole sort of web of stories around this town that we've created, and you know, it'll have its own sort of mythologies and all these different characters that we hope maybe people will start to get to know and want to know what's happening to them,
and they'll all kind of interweave, won't they? We're hoping to drop some kind of Easter eggs throughout future episodes, and then for those people that do want to carry on and do future ones, they'll kind of be like an overarching story tying everything together.
Right, wow. You're basically a bit like the MCU. You're doing your own cinematic universe for the Pandora Network. Yeah. There's going to be proper, you know, I'm going to be seeing YouTube videos of people going, well, they said this in episode one, but if you hear in this one, they said the same thing. Dum, dum, dum. You never know.
That would be the dream, Mikey, for some YouTuber in a year's time to make a YouTube video about theories of Pandora Network.
You never know. Sky's the limit. And like I say, there's some far smarter people in me than that was on that first group when it comes to this kind of thing. So you never know. Sometimes people can figure things out so easily, whereas I'm just looking at a page going, he did it. For no reason. Perfect. Before we end this podcast, first of all, thank you both very, very much for coming on. Obviously, we've mentioned the website to be able to get tickets for Pandora Network. It's pandoranetwork.online. But what's the best way to find out all the information and keep up to date with Faceless Ventures over on social media?
You can find us at Faceless Ventures on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and it's just Faceless Ventures. You'll find us on everything. Same for Pandora Network. We've got Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all of those.
And although we have neglected our Patreon a little bit in recent weeks because we've been scrambling in a mad dash to get this Pandora Network put together, we will, of course, be putting some content out for our patrons on Patreon as well. So we are on Patreon if anybody wants to help us do this sort of crazy experience right now.
Absolutely, yeah, definitely. I am a member of your Patreon and I can definitely speak of it highly. If you do join now, there's plenty of previous episodes all about previous stuff you've done. I know there was a two-parter all about Cracked as well on there, giving a few inside stories, a few funny stories, and how that all sort of came to be. So, yeah, it's definitely worthwhile purely for those podcasts alone. So support these guys on Patreon. James and Rosie, thank you so, so much for coming on to the Scaretrack podcast. Be safe, stay kind, all that palaver, stay indoors as and when you can, and hopefully we'll see each other sooner rather than later.
I know, yes. I think we all need a beer together, don't we, once all this is over.
Absolutely. Agreed. And thanks for having us on, Mikey, it's been a pleasure.
No, it's been fantastic. Thank you so, so much, and we'll see you soon.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to Scaretrack.
So there we go, guys. First of all, a very big thank you to James and Rosie for coming on to the Scaretrack podcast to talk all about the Pandora Network. If it sounds like you're going to enjoy it, guys, I guarantee you will. Make sure you head over to their website, buy a ticket. It goes live May 2nd. So very exciting. Let us know what you enjoy of it as well. Be sure to interact with us over on social media. Let us know what you guys thought of the Pandora Network. Just go over to our Instagram, Snapchat, Twitter or Facebook. Just search for Scaretrack. You can write us an email, scaretrack@gmail.com, and you can find absolutely everything you need Scaretrack related over on our website, www.scaretrack.co.uk. And I think that brings us almost to the end of this episode of the Scaretrack podcast. Just a few more bits. Guys, do stay indoors if you can. Be kind, be safe, look after one another, and I'm hoping we'll ride this wave a lot faster than it appears so at the moment. Let's get our fingers crossed. A few changes in the scare world as such. Obviously, we don't really do the news and rumours here on Scaretrack so much nowadays, purely because there's some weeks where there's absolutely nothing happening, and there's other weeks where there's absolutely loads happening, and there's other sites out there that do bring you the latest news and rumours, like Scaretour. But what we can let you know is that York Maze, the home of Howlers Scream, have decided not to go ahead and do their summer event whatsoever. Obviously, it's dependent on whether they can be open or not, but even if they are allowed to be, they're not going to be setting it up. Lots of investment goes into these summer events, so they've decided not to. That could have a knock-on effect on their Howlers Scream event. I do think that all their stuff is permanently built, so that does give them is more in their favour, as opposed to a park that has to build their attractions throughout the summer, ready for October. So it's a tricky time, guys. I'm not too sure, but it's great to see that lots of people are changing the ways that they get their scare or their immersive buzz. Likewise with Lee, Sarah, James and Rosie with Faceless Ventures, they've created the Pandora Network along with their partners, but there's the likes of Escape Rooms that are doing lots of stuff online now, so check those out. Our next episode will be having Dan from UK Haunters back on, because him and his wife Jess just did an online escape game, so we're going to chat to them and see how they enjoyed that. And there's another podcast all about scare stuff, our good friends at Zombie Infection, where you can get tickets officially from us over on our website as soon as COVID-19 is over, that is. They've got a brand new podcast called Picking Brains, and each week they go live on Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock over on their Twitch page, and they've interviewed the likes of Michael Bolton from ScareCon, Amber Barrett from Park Scares and Glitter. They've also had on Lee Conway from Faceless Ventures as well. So yeah, there's some good stuff there. Guys, let us know if you want to change, if you want us to change the way that we bring the podcast to you. Obviously, the Scaretrack podcast is on our direct website, but it's also, I think, on every single podcast platform, nearly. People have mentioned putting the show on YouTube, but obviously we try and put our video content over on there, like our scare cams, like our movie reviews, our Coaster Track vlogs. So I didn't really want to put the podcast over on there as well, but many podcasts do, so let us know if that's something that you'd like us doing in the future, and we'll see what we can do, guys. But other than that, stay safe, be scary, and we'll see you on the next episode. Bye, guys.